Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. We are going to be learning about Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a very, very special day. And this limud about Yom Kippur should be l'refuas r'fom and asher kopel ben Naomi, Yehuda ben Sion ben Naomi, Tov Yudis bas Tamagasio, and Le'ili Nishmas Esther bas Rav Shmuel, Chana bas Rav Yitzchak Yona, Aaron ben Yaakov Shachna, and Lip ben Usher ben Brindle. It says in Parashas Achremos that Yom Kippur is called Achas Bishana, once a year. Of course the 10th of Tishrei can only come once a year. For that, we don't need the Pasuk. The moment you tell me it's the 10th of Tishrei, we know it's Achas Bishana. So why does the Torah emphasize that Yom Kippur is Achas Bishana? So for that, we are going to turn to the Torah, Pilei Plos, Nora Noros, of the Pachad Yitzchak in Maimor Chaf Aleph. And the Pachad Yitzchak says that in order to answer this question, first we have to understand what a year is. Years began by the Jewish people in connection to Golos Mitzrayim. The Bris Bein HaBesarim said that the Hemshech HaZman, the duration of Golos Mitzrayim, is going to be in a number of years. However, this very Bris, the very Bris Bein HaBesarim that talks about years, also talks about generations. It says that in the fourth after the four generations, you will return here to Eretz Yisrael. So on one hand, we see the concept of years. It says that Golos Mitzrayim is going to be for a certain number of years, for 400 years. And it also says that the fourth generation is going to return. And the Gra famously says, as Rav Futner discusses in numerous Ma'amarim, that Kilkulim are Tluyim Bizman, and Tikunim are Tluyim B'Nefesh Ha'adam. And therefore the Golos, which is a Kilkul, which is destructive, which is a distortion, that's judged by years, that's measured by years. That's how we talk about how many years the Golos is. Because Golos is Kilkul, is years. Because years, Kilkulim are Zman, time. Because Kilkulim are Tacha Zman, that's what the Gra says. And therefore when we talk about the Kilkul of Golos Mitzrayim, we talk about time, 400 years. The Tikunim, when you fix something, it's Talui Nefesh HaAdam, and therefore it says the Tikun, the Geula, is going to be in the fourth generation. Generation is talking about people. It's in the context, in the framework of people. And we can also connect to this what we know about the Minyan HaMitzvahs. We know that the 365 Los Asseis, which correspond to the 365 days of the year. We know there are 248 Mitzvahs Asseis, which correspond to the 248 limbs of a person. So we see that Kilkulim are Talui in Zman. Kilkulim are 365. Those are the Kilkulim, the 365 Los Asseis, destructive acts. And that corresponds to the days of the year, the time. Tikunim are Talui in the Adam, 248 limbs, 248 Mitzvahs Asseis. Those are the Tikunim. However, we still have to understand what is the nature of the Kilkulim in the Memshalah, in the realm of time, and what is the nature of Tikunim in the realm of the human being. Because we said that when it comes to Tikunim, it's Nefesh HaAdam, four generations. We talk about generations, human beings, people. Tikunim are people. Kilkulim are time. Says Hagon Hagadol of Yitzchak Kuttner, sweetest friends, he's a superstar. There's no other way to describe him. I mean, there are many other ways to describe him, but that's just one. There are two values. One is an Olam Over, and one is an Olam Kayim. Two polar opposites. The Olam Over, this passing temporal world, is a world in which there's time, there's Zmaniyut. The Olam Kayim is the world of Netzach, of eternity. We understand eternity as being time that just keeps going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. So really, the Olam Kayim is also time. They're both time. This world is a world of time, but this world will end. And the next world is a world of time where the world will never end. Anybody who understands that way is making a very basic error. Because in fact, that is not the world of Netzach. Chazal say that the world of Netzach is Olam Shekulo Aruch. All of the Olam HaNetzach is long. What does that mean? It means that every second, even at the beginning, it's Aruch. It's always long. Because every second of eternity is eternal. We can't understand that now because we're living in this world. But we will one day. So we see that Netzach is not time that just keeps going on. Netzach is a mitzias that is mufka legamre from the essence of Zman. There is no such thing as time in the world of eternity. That's why the reward of eternity is so great, because now you can only enjoy any pleasure for the amount of time you're enjoying it. You can only get 1 second of pleasure in any given second in eternity. We're going to have an eternity of pleasure. Every second, kiviyachad, is not a second, but it's always eternal. Every second's eternal, so it's an eternal pleasure. So that is gevaldik, that's to understand what Netzach is. In this Bria, we can't find anything where we're living now, one nekuda that has some sort of yachas to a metzius that's mufka mimuhus shel zman. The only place we can find a metzius that's mufka from zman in this world is in a person's neshama. This person's neshama comes from a completely different metzius. It comes from metzius of the Olam HaNetzach. And therefore, in your neshama has shaychus to nitzchis. That's incidentally why Rav Ruttner explains in his Pachad Yitzchak in Maimer Aleph that you do a mitzvah b'zrizus. It's not just that you don't lose out on the mitzvah, but it's a lot more than that. When a mitzvah is done with drizus, there is a minimal amount of time being taken, and that minimal amount of time is mishayach the maisa to mitzvahs, to nitzchis, to eternity. Comes the Gra to teach us that in the penius of a person, the only way we can get to Yiras Shemayim is if we can view it as being an essence of eternity. When you're living in this world, there is nothing to give you Yiras Shemayim. You're not connected to the Memshala. What's there to be afraid of? It's the here, the now. Eat, drink, and be merry. Don't worry about tomorrow, Bechla. That's in this world. The only way to get Yiras Shemayim is to know that there's Nitzchias. That this is eternity. It's not just the here, the now, this moment. And that's what the Gra meant when he said that kilkulam are tluyim bizman. In other words, if there is no Yiras Shemayim, all this world is kilkulam. And if you're in the world of Zman, if you don't have Netzach, there's no room for Yiras Shemayim. So memeil it emerges that this hashkafa, this perspective of Zmanius, of time, of being temporal, that is the source of all kilkulim. Because all there is the now, the here. It's not nitzchi. There's no Yiras Shemayim. The only place you can find this mitzius of nitzchius is in the neshama of a person. And that's what the Gra writes, that the mitzius of a person is the tikkun of the kilkul hazmanius. Zmanius is time. Zmanius is no Yiras Shemayim. Zmanius is right now. Havar ayin ve'atita dayin ve'oveke herif ayin. Just take advantage of the moment. Enjoy. And then enjoy the next moment. And the next, don't worry about too much of the future. No nitzchias anyway. Chas v'shalom. That's zman. That's no Yiras Shemayim. The tikkun for that zman, which is kilkul, is the net and the sham of a person, which is nitzchias. And that's what gives us Yiras Shemayim. And therefore, when we talk about the galus, it's zman. That's the kilkul, the shorash of all kilkul and the lack of Yiras Shemayim. And when we talk about the tikkun, we talk about people, which is nitzchias, which gives us Yiras Shemayim. And we understand that there's an Olam HaNetzach. What's interesting is that after Yetzias Mitzrayim, we find a stira, that we find that there are periods, that the Geula is also stated in the context of time, of years. It says that we're going to be redeemed 70 years from Koresh. 70 years from Koresh, we're going to build the second Beis HaMikdash. What are you talking about? That's years, and that's a tikkun. We said tikkun, we said years relate to kilkul. And yet we see that later on, after the Chumash, we see that there are tikkunim that relate to time, to years. How can that be? What happened? It says there are going to be 6,000 years until the year Shekulo Shabbos. What do you mean 6,000 years? That's time. Time is kilkul. How can time relate to a tikkun? However, this is the secret of the elevation of the concept of year. When God created the world, in the parsha of Yetzias HaMa'oros, it says that the Ma'oros are there for Mo'adim and Shanim. What is this Lemo'adim? What are Mo'adim doing in the creation of the luminaries? We're talking about Ma'aseh Bereishis. We're talking about Ayin El Hayesh. From nothing to something. And the Mo'adim are events that came to the world throughout the history, throughout the generations. What does Mo'adim have to do with Ma'aseh Bereishis? It's like saying that the animals were created for Karbanos. Karbanos come much later. That's why we have animals. So if you say that the Ma'oros are for the years, we understand that the Ma'oros are going to be cyclical. We have the moon, we have the stars, we have the sun, we have the winter, we have the spring, we have the summer, we have the fall, we have the night, we have the day. So that's what it means. Shanim, they're going to be Shanim, they're going to be Ma'oros, they're going to be luminaries that are going to be cyclical. That's Shana. Shana comes from the word Sheni. Again, 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 cycles. Machzoriyut. So when the Ma'oros are going to be for Shanim, it's telling us how the Ma'oros are going to work. And that's, of course, Shayach to Maaseh Bereishis. But what do the Moedim have to do with anything? So the Omek Pshuto Shel Mikra is that the sun has its cycle and the moon has its cycle. There's a Shnas Chama and there's a Shnas Levana. And if these two cycles would both work alone and they would never meet, then we would never be able to have holidays. Because God wants that the holidays should be connected to both of the Machzorim, both of the cycle of the sun and of the moon. So the first month has to be the spring, and that's the moon, and that's the sun. Because the first month is based on the moon, that's when we make months, but it also has to be in the spring, which is based on the sun. So the Jewish calendar is really a combination of sun and moon. We take into account the seasons. Pesach has to be in the spring. And we also take into account the months, which is based on the moon. So how do we achieve this? We have Kiddush HaChodesh. We have Ibur Levana. We have Ibur Shana. We have that extra month we add in. So in that way, we, with the Muslims, Lahavdil, it doesn't work that way. They have Ramadan. Ramadan always comes at a different time of year because they're only going on the moon. The Gentiles only go. They're going. The Christians go on the sun. But we combine the two, the moon and the sun. That's what God wanted. And that sometimes it should be 13-month year, one male, one chaser, all the other halachas of Kiddush HaChodesh. So in order to equate and harmonize, is a better word, the two cycles, the cycle of the moon and the cycle of the sun, so we need to establish the relationship of these two cycles. And we do that by Maaseh Bereishis. The Torah says, Shema Oros Yu L'Shanim U'L'Moadim. First there are Shanim, first there are going to be cycles, and then Moadim. These cycles will relate to each other in such a way that we can create Moadim. In other words, Gevaldik, you have Shanim. Shanim is comprised of the moon, the sun and the moon and the different seasons. That's Shanim, and there are going to be cycles. And then, when you have these cycles of the sun and the moon and the seasons, so everything has to work together. The sun has to work in concert with the moon. Sometimes you're going to have a 13th month year, sometimes not. 1 month male, 1 month chaser. Everything's going to work out. How? How is everything going to work out, sweetest friends? I'll tell you exactly how. Because of Moadim. The Moadim are when everything is going to come together. You have the Shanim, which is cycles, and then when the cycles work in concert, that's Moadim. And that's Pshat in the Pasuk, that the Ma'oros, the luminaries, are going to be L'Shanim u'L'Moadim. First, the very cycles that God creates, and then the harmonization of the cycles, which will result in Jewish holidays. So yes, Yitziras HaMoadim. That is going to be the creation. That's what God is talking about in Maaseh Bereishis, the Yetzira, the creation of the Moadim. Because that's what the Machzoriyut does. The Machzoriyut, the cycles of the sun and the moon and the seasons, is what creates Moadim. And that's, of course, Shayich to Maaseh Bereishis, because that is all based, predicated upon the very luminaries that were created, Yesh Me'ayim. So what is the essence of these Moadim? We talked about the creation of the Moadim. What is the essence of the Moadim? So the Pasuk says, Zechar Asa L'Niflo Osaf. The simple meaning of this Pasuk is, the opposite of what actually happened. Because what the wonders themselves that happen, God did them. When we make a Zechar, we do it. We eat matzah, we sit in the sukkah, it's Zechar Asa L'Niflo Osaf. We are doing it in memory of God's Niflos. God did the Niflos. We make the memories. But the Chachamim explained that no, Zecher Aslan Afrosav means that what God did to us in the past, the wonders of the past, are a zecher, are a memory, are a sign of the wonders that are going to be in the future. And that's in fact what the Navi says, Ki Meitzeis Chamei Eretz Mitzrayim, just like I took you out of Egypt and we had wonders there, Arenu L'Flo, so too in the future, I will show you wonders. In other words, the essence of the Moadim are to be a aspaklaria, to be a crystal ball, so to speak, of the Ma'oraot, of the events, of the Geula Achrona. That is what Moadim are for. Moadim are supposed to be a sign, an indication of what's going to happen. Lasid Lavo, Zecher Asal and Neflosav. He made a Zecher for the Neflosav of the future already in the past. He made Tzeischa, made Eretz Mitzrayim, like I took you out of Egypt, I ran Neflosav in the future, I will show you wonders. And that is how the Moadim make their way into the Geula. Because the Moadim are showing us a little bit of what the Geula is going to be like, and we make these memories of the wonders that were, we have a zecher of the wonders that will be. And since the Moadim are contingent upon being called a year, the Moadim have to fall out in the year, in the cycle of the year. So we see then that the year is a timepiece which is part of the Geula process. However, there is one very important Hagbalah that we have to make. There is one very important qualification that we have to make. How do the years go into how are they weaved into the great mosaic of the ultimate Geula? The Moadim. The Moadim cannot exist unless we have Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur Hashanah. And it emerges, therefore, that when God told us to do Kiddush HaChodesh, Rishon Hu Lachem L'Chodshei Hashanah, that opens up the gate of the year, that the year can be used as a kli for the Geula. And that we can count based on the year down to the, or up to the ultimate Geula. That's all part of the Geula process. This time, these making the months create the holidays, and the holidays are a zecher for the ultimate Geula. So when we make the new month, it's all part of the Geula process. And that is what differentiates Geulas Mitzrayim, which is spoken about in the context of Doros, and not years, and the other Geulos, that years are also part of the Geula process. And that is because Geulas Mitzrayim was before Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur Hashanah. And before the Kiddush of this mitzvah, time was shayach to Kilkulim, and only the human being was shayach to the Seder of Tikkunim. We had Tikkun, we were Nitzchias, but time was Zmaniyut. And Mimela, it would be impossible for the Mahalach of the Geula to be counted in years, because years are Kilkulim now. There's no Kiddush HaChodesh. Years, time only becomes holy, only becomes part of the Geula after the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. But before the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, when we were still in Mitzrayim, there the years are just boring, dead old things that make Kilkulim. They don't help us at all. It's only after Kiddush HaChodesh, which paves the way for the Moadim, which is the Zecher for the ultimate Geula, only then years can be stated in a positive context. And therefore, originally we have to count Geulas Mitzrayim L'minyan HaDoros, like the Gros says, but after the Chiddush of Parshas Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShanah, now we have Kiddushas HaZman, and now Zman is going to have Moadim, which is all part of the Mahalach of the Geula. And when we say Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim, we understand that the Zmanim are talking about the Moadim and the Regalim. However, it's a lot deeper, because Mekadesh Hazmanim means that the Etzem Mitzius of Zman now goes into the realm of Kedusha. But before the Kiddush HaChodesh, the Mitzius Hazman was only in the realm of Chol, of being secular and not helpful at all. It's like the Medrash says that a king gave a watch to his son. Giving the watch is giving time, and that is the elevation. Now, God allowed us through that to elevate time. From the time of Geulas Mitzrayim, time is now part of the Tikkunim, and no longer part of the Kilkulim. When we were in, sweetest friends, I hope you're still with me. This is a little bit deep, but it's always deep. when we were in Mitzrayim, before Mitzrayim, time was only a kilkel. Time was only something was of this world. Time was shayach to lack of yiras shemayim. Time is just the same old thing repeating itself again. That was man. But after Yetzias Mitzrayim, now we have Kiddush HaChodesh. Kiddush HaChodesh allows us to be, allows us to celebrate the holidays. Kiddush HaChodesh is what harmonizes the time, the sun, and the moon. And once we have these holidays, once we have this harmonization, we now have a zecher for the ultimate geula. Now time is going to become part of the geula. So after Yetzias Mitzrayim, time will not be kilkulim. Time will be part of the seder of the tikkunim, because that will be the seder, the mahalach of the geula. And every year is another step on the road to the geula. And in fact, Rav Futner continues that the month of Tishrei is called Yerech Eitanim. What is Eitanim? Eitan is Milashon Tkifus, strength. The Gemara explains, because this month is strong with mitzvahs. There's shofar, there's sukkah, there's arava. So why is it calling the month that is strong with mitzvahs strong? Mitzvah does many other nice things besides making you strong. You have Kedusha. So why don't we call Tishrei Yerech HaKedusha? Why Yerech HaEitanim? The month of the strong, the month of Tkifus. Why is that? But that's exactly what we're saying. Only the Jewish people count to the moon. So before the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShana, the moon, there was no such thing as a moon year. Because the moon, the months of the year, didn't connect to the year. The year of the moon, now that the year is connected also to the moon, that relates to Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShanah, which harmonizes between the Shnas HaCham and Shnas HaLevana, the year of the sun and the year of the moon. So the concept of the year of the sun always existed. The mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShanah was Mechadesh and Aliyah, that beforehand Galus was counted by years. And that was obviously on a low level. That was a kilkul. And now that there's a harmonization, there are moadim, there is Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibur HaShana, now you can count the geula by years, 6,000 years, or 70 years till the second Beis HaMikdash. And that would mean then that the Shnas HaLevana, the year of the moon, was born in Kedusha, and that the Shnas HaChama went from Chol to Kodesh. Beforehand, Shnas HaLevana didn't exist. So now it was born with the Jewish people, it was born in Kedusha. Shnas HaChama always existed. They always counted the years according to the sun and the seasons. But now it went from Chol to Kodesh, because now it's part of the Mahalach of the Geula. And this is done through the Moadim. Now Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah Lashanim. In other words, the solar year. So it emerges that Tishrei is the month in which the year became strong. And that's Yerech Ha'etanim al shem ha'tkifus. Now the year becomes strong in the month of Tishrei. Because when the year was born in Tishrei, the beginning of the sun year, so it was now elevated. It became much stronger, and that's why it's called al shem ha'tkifus. So continues Rav Futner, Hinei mashmauta pshuta shel tevat shana, hi chelik shel zman hapoel b'machzoriyut. The simple meaning of the word year is something that is just cyclical. There's another cycle, like sheni, again, 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 again. U'be'amreinu shashana mishameshet leminyan mahalach ha-geula, hakavana hi shi mishameshet leminyan ha-geula b'machzoriyut sheba. When we say that the year is counted as part of the geula process, we mean that it is counted as towards the geula in its cycle. Kolomar shemachzoriyut shel hashana naaseit lezeir anpin shel klaliyut hahekev shel yemot olam. The cycle of the year is a microcosm of the hekev, of the general encompassing of all of history. The klaliyut hagalgal shel yemot olam mitztamtzem toch machzor zeir anpin shel hekev hashana. And this galga, this cycle of all of history, is now contracted into this cycle, the microcosm of the year. And v'kacha nutzarim heim b'chol shana kol sugei ha-ma'ayan. Kol sugei ha-me'ein. Kegon me'ein yom shekulo tov. Ukegon me'ein hakamat zakukat David ha-nofalet. Ukegon me'ein tkiyat ha-shofar ha-gadol. Me'ein yuvukash avon Yisrael v'einenu v'chadome. So now what we have is that every year we can have, the year is the microcosm of all of history, because it's going to lead us to the Geula in its cycles. The cycle of the year leads us to the Geula. And now that it's leading us to the Geula, that means every year we have a little tiny microcosm of the Geula. We have a microcosm. Our Shabbos is a little bit of Yom Shekulo Shabbos. When we talk about Sukkah, it's a little bit of Harachamanu Yakimlanu with Sukkah's Davar Hanufalas, the third base HaMikdash. So we have in our cycle of the year, now that the year has been elevated, now that we have Moadim, this year becomes a Me'ain. Every year becomes a little bit, a taste of the great future events that we look so forward to. And we also learn now about Tishrei, that we understand the strength of Tishrei, because Tishrei became much stronger now that Tishrei, which got all of these holidays, so now it was elevated. It was really elevated among, it elevates the whole year, but specifically Tishrei, even independently, is elevated because it has special tkifus. It has all of these mitzvahs, and these mitzvahs put it, which are the mitzvahs of the moadim of the cycles, elevated from being just a month of the solar calendar, which isn't so meaningful for us, into a time of moed. So it got this elevation from being a solar month to a time of moed, filled with mitzvahs, filled with me'ains of la'asit lavo. And that is the special tkifus of Chodesh Tishrei. So now, b'siyata d'shmaya, we've been zocha to understand shana. Now we understand the year, we understand the machzorius of the year, the aliyah of the year. And now we want to understand a little bit more about Yom Kippur, and then in the end, Emir Tzashem, everything is going to come together. The Rambam says that even though tshuva and sa'aka are nice all year round, and they're helpful, but during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, they're especially helpful, and it's accepted immediately. Tshuva is accepted immediately during Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So, Tzaaka, we can understand when you cry out. You cry out, Kadosh Baruch Hu listens all year, but especially during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. But Tshuva, we understand what it says, it's Yafa Hu B'Yoser. Tshuva is very, very nice. And meaning there are many different levels of tshuva, and during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, tshuva gets a shidrug, as they say in modern Hebrew. Tshuva is elevated because it's done during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. It's a greater tshuva. But what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts tshuva immediately? What's this immediacy? We've heard a tzaaka, sometimes it's answered immediately, sometimes it's answered later. That we can understand. But when it comes to tshuva, what does it mean that tshuva is going to be accepted immediately? When you see a shihu yizman by tshuva, that sometimes it's accepted now, sometimes it'll be accepted later. What is this notion that tshuva is going to be accepted right now? When do we see that there's this duration of time that sometimes it takes longer for tshuva to be accepted? Less time for tshuva to be accepted. That's what we have to understand. So when we say ni'ilah, there's a special nusach that we say on Yom Kippur. We say, v'titein lanu es yom ha-kippurim hazeh, keitz mechila b'slicha ha-kol avonoseinu. This should be the end of mechila and slicha for all of our avonos. And apparently, because of this nusach, the Rambam copied into his Hilchos Tshuva that Yom Kippur is keitz mechila slicha li'Yisrael. What is the word keitz mean in this context? What's the kates? It's the end. It's the end of Slicha Mechila. So this word is shayach to the last words of the last Navi Malachi, when he talks about the Yom Din HaGadol V'Hanor of Achritz HaYomim. And it says there in Malachi, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Hey, V'Hayisi Eid Memaher, I will be a quick witness. And when Rav Yochanan got to this pasuk, it says in the Gemara, he would start crying. Oh boy, what is an Eved going to do when his Rebbe is going to be an Eid Memahir? What is this Eid Memahir, this swift witness? So the Brisker Rav says that he heard from his father that even the biggest tzaddik won't know his din until Achris Hayamin. And he brings a raya from Shmuel that he went to bring up Moshe. And he was afraid, maybe they're going to be Tovea Mita Din. Gemara talks about this in Chagiga. So he was with Moshe, and nevertheless he was afraid of Din. So even though he was Shayach to Moshe and the Olam Emes, he was still concerned with Din. He needed to bring Moshe with him. Maybe they're going to be Tovei him to Din. So we see that until the end of days, nobody knows their final cheshbon. And scary. And the Griz says further, the Brisker Rav says, that this is all said in the context of the mid of Erech HaPayim of God's patience. So we have to know, until when is this mid of Erech HaPayim Noheg, and when is going to be the bearer of Achris Hayam. So the Navi comes and says, Vayisi Eid Memaher, I will be a swift witness, and that's talking about the Yom HaDin HaGadol. Then God is going to be an Eid Memaher, a swift witness, and there's going to be no more Erech HaPayim, there's going to be no more patience, and everybody's going to be paid what they deserve. And that's what it means, Eid Memaher. Until now is Erech HaPayim, and now it's Eid Memaher. That's what the Brisker Rav says. And that's all been Ogea, the meat of Erech HaPayim, as it's in the world. However, this cycle of time in the world includes with it many, many small cycles that reflect in a microcosmic way the process of the greater cycle. And therefore, since Yom Kippur, in the context of a year, in the cycle of a year, is a Me'ein Hama'ora, it's a microcosm of the Yom HaDin HaGadol, of that great day of judgment, which is going to be in the Hekef HaKlali, in the much greater context of all of world history. So therefore it makes sense that on Yom Kippur there should be no Erech HaPayim, because the macrocosm is the Yom HaDin HaGadol Vanor, the microcosm is Yom Kippur, and just like in the Yom HaDin HaGadol Vanor there's going to be no Erech HaPayim, so too on Yom Kippur. And now we understand the word Kates, two letters, there's so much meaning, Mamish pregnant with meaning, B'shel Tov U'Mitzlachas. We understand now, we can see the beautiful light in the word Kates on the Tefillah of Ne'ila, and also in the Lashon of the Rambam, because the depths of the meaning of Kates, Mechila, and Slicha is that that's the end of Erech HaPayim. And that's why in Ne'ila we didn't say it's just a Yom Slicha or Mechila like we do in the other Tefillahs of Yom Kippur. Because this is it. There's no more Erech HaPayim. It's all over. It's the end. It's the end of Slicha and Mechila. Either now or it's a now or never. That's what it is. So now we understand the Kates. And now we can go back to the Pasuk of Achaz Bishana. What does Achaz Bishana mean? We said, of course, if it's on the 10th of Tishrei, it's once a year. However, in light of what we learned, everything becomes clear. The truth of the matter is, it's not telling us the time of this kapara. It's telling us the essence of this kapara. And it's telling us the essence of this kapara is an Achaz Bishana Dika kapara. In other words, this kapara cannot come more than once a year. That's its essence. Because this kapara is a kates. It's the end. There is no more opportunity. And there's only one end. And therefore we say, Achas Bishana. Kolomar says, Refutna. Hechrech hula lekapara zu shetavu achat bishana. It must come once a year, and no more, no less. V'cheinu gam b'chatimah shel berkat hayom b'tfilat yom kippur. Mikodem u'omer melech mochel v'soleach. First we say, when we say the bracha on Yom Kippur, that God is a forgiving God. And then we add, Umavir Ashmoteinu b'chol shana b'shana, and He removes our sin every year. So we're adding praise that the Slicha Mechila occur every year. And if you have a sensitive ear, you can hear that it's not merely a praise for the fact that there is a quantitatively greater amount of Slicha Mechila, because there's no greater Slicha Mechila, because you can make a lot more. Why is this called a more quantity? Why are we praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mavir Ashmoseinu b'chol shana b'shana. We're not praising Him, oh, you do it every year. We're praising the quantity of the Slicha Mechila. He could do it a lot more than just every year. He can do it not just a week. He could do it lots and lots and lots, lots more times. What we're saying is, sweetest friends, that milvat hashevach al hayotom melech mochel v'soleach, besides praising Hashem that he's a king who is so forgiving, yesh kan odin yan miyuchad, there's something else special here. Shamechila v'aslicha mofiim b'derech achat b'shana. We're thanking God, we're praising God, that the mechila and the slicha appear in such a way, the essence of the mechila and slicha are an achas b'shana dika slicha mechila. That it's ketz. That this is it. That there is no more opportunities. This is our final opportunity. And therefore we're praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're saying, you gave us this chance. You gave us this chance. And we can do tshuva now. And this is it. And that's what the bracha means. The bracha means that Melech mochel v'solech, not only are you mochel v'soleach, but it's also b'pchinas keitz. It's like the acharis hayamim. You gave us this opportunity to do tshuva, and if we don't get it now, we're never going to get it. And that is really based on the pasuk. The pasuk says, Mavir Ashmoseinu b'chol shana, the Mavir Ashmoseinu b'chol shana v'shana, that he does it every year really comes from the pasuk of Achaz Bishana. It's really one and the same. The Mavrash B'Sein Ruchol Shem Bishana is based on Achaz Bishana. Because what did we say Achaz Bishana means? That the essence is Achaz Bishana. It can only be once a year. That's because it's the end. It's the last chance. And we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for this last chance. That we have this last chance to do Slicha. And then it's all over. So that's the Achaz, that the essence is that it's once a year. And that's why we have to make sure to seize the moment, carpe diem, grab the opportunity. So it's not just telling us that it happens once a year. Its essence is once a year. That there's one ending of the year that it's like Achor Sayyamim where we have to do tshuva. And if in the Midas of Peronus we have a mahalach to the gvul, to the border of, we have a mahalach of a gvul, of Erech HaPayim, that there's a limit to how patient God is going to be, and there's sometimes going to be an Eid Memaher. So Meruba Mida Tova Midas Peronus, good is always better than bad. And therefore we say, Al Achas Kama V'Kama, it's not a S'chus, there's also an Hanhaga Shom Memaher, Hanhaga Shom Miyad. Just like in Miyad, there's swift punishment, there's also swift reward. And that's what the Rambam means when he says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, during the Aseret Tzemei Tshuva, is Mekabel our Tshuva Miyad. That's as fast as you can get. So just like the Eid Memaher on Yom Kippur is going to exact swift judgment in the negative way, certainly in the positive way, the Eid Memaher is going to make for swift reward. And that's Kabbalah Satshuva Miyad. So now we understand the Miyad and Kabbalah Satshuva. But how does the Miyad express itself in the Befo'el Mamish of Hilchas Tshuva? So explains Rav Huttner that even though Rabbeinu Yonah enumerates 20 Ikarim in the Avod of Tshuva, there are only 3 Ikarim that are Ma'akev. Charata, Kabbalah, Uvidui. Regret, accepting upon yourself, and confession. Accepting upon yourself not to sin, regretting that you sinned, and confession. These are Ma'akev, says Rabbeinu Yonah. And we find a big chiddush in Rabbeinu Yonah in the Ikar of Kabbalah. He splits up the Ikar of Kabbalah Lahaba into 2 different ikrim. And the ikr hasheni is the makor hadin, that's the source of the halacha, that Kabbalah lahaba is ma'akev. And he writes that what is it? Shekabbalah lahaba hu sheyigmor b'chol levavo ki lo yosef lashuv b'derech hazeh od. Vim oven po'al lo yosef. That a person takes upon himself in his heart, besides in his heart, he's not going to go on this path again. And if he did a sin, he's not going to add on, he's not going to do the sin again. So we see from Rabbeinu Yonah, and that's Ma'akev, that if a person just decides in his heart that he's not going to sin again, then he was Mekayim, the Kabbalah Lahaba, that's Ma'akev, that's so critical, that you really need this Kabbalah Lahaba. And he says that Kabbalah Lahaba is enough if you just take it upon yourself in your heart. And there's no way to measure the strength of this koach of Kabbalah. But later on, in the Ikar HaTishasar, there he talks about the Ikarim that are non-Makev. He says if your Kabbalah is so strong that it would conquer the power of the Yetzer in the same test that you were Nichshal on the first time, so then you are Lifnei Hashem, you are in front of Hashem on the highest level of Tshuva. So we see explicitly from Rabbeinu Yonah that your Kabbalah has to be so strong that it would help you stand up to the same test that you failed last time. That is talking about the highest Madrega of Tshuva, the Madrega Leon of Tshuva. But the part of Kabbalah Lahaba that's Me'akev is only a decision with all of your heart. Kefi Shas HaKabbalah, at the moment of Kabbalah. Not that it would withstand a test that you already failed, but rather that at the moment of Kabbalah, you accept upon yourself not to sin. But not that if you were in that same Nisan, that requires a much stronger Kabbalah, that if you were in the same Nisan and you once failed in, that you'll pass this time. That's a strong Kabbalah. If a person says, I won't sleep with this girl, so if there are two types of Kabbalah, he can say, I feel so strong, I won't sleep with this girl. Even if she was here right now, and we were alone in the room, I wouldn't do it. That's a stronger Kabbalah. Or he can say, right now, as I stand here now, all by myself, in the middle of Shul and Yom Kippur, I wouldn't do it. Now I don't feel like I would do it. Not being in that situation that you already failed at. So that's a much lesser Kabbalah. And it's only in the lesser Kabbalah is what's Ma'akev. But it would seem that the Rambam doesn't hold like that, because the Rambam defines Kabbalah Lahaba as an edus of the Odea Talumas, that God knows all the secrets, can testify about you, that you're never going to return again to your sin. So that's Mashman the Rambam, that this is the content of the Kabbalah Lahaba that's Ma'akev. And according to this Shita, there is a way to measure the Kabbalah Lahaba. According to the Rabbeinu Yonah, the basic Kabbalah Lahaba that's Ma'akev, there's no way to measure it. Any Kabbalah will do. According to the Rambam, there is a way to measure it. How strong is your Kabbalah? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu can testify about you that you're not going to do this sin again. It has to be that strong. And that's Ma'akev. However, there's another Hechitimsi, there's another means of to test, to gauge a barometer, the strength of the Kabbalah. This is length of time. Just like there's a way to measure the strength and the power of the Kabbalah, there is also a different way to measure the Kabbalah when it talks about time. Because there's a type of Kabbalah that you're going to take upon yourself that's going to last for a day. And there's a type of Kabbalah that's going to last you for the rest of your life. So there's Medidas HaRochav and Medidas HaOmek. When you can talk about the Omek, how deep is it? It's so deep, I'm never going to sin again. I'm never going to do this Aveira again. That's the depths. That's the depth that I'm not I'm never going to do it again. That I'm not going to do this Aveira. That if I'm presented with this Aveira, confronted with this Aveira, I'm not going to do it. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu testifies, it's that deep. That if right now I was in the room with this girl and nobody else was here, I wouldn't do it. It's that deep. But there's also a way to measure a Kabbalah in width-wise. That the Kabbalah will last for a week, for a month, for a year. And just like when you measure the depth of the Kabbalah, we saw chilukim between the Rambam and the Rabbeinu Yonah. The Rambam says it has to be, it's ma'akev, it has to be much deeper. But the Odea Talumas has to testify that you're never, right now, that you're never going to do that sin again. And Rabbeinu Yonah says, no. As long as you say that you're not going to do it, that's enough. You don't have to, doesn't require such strict measurement. So too, there's also a chiluk between the Rambam and Rabbeinu Yonah when you're measuring the width of the Kabbalah. Kabbalah kazu sheyesh ba gvul letokav koach hemshech shela, bevaday sheyesh kan chisaron v'hader shlemut l'kulei alma. If you have a Kabbalah that's limited in how long it's going to last, everybody holds there's a chisaron in this Kabbalah. And now we come to the point of the befoel mamish of the Kabbalah miyad. What is the befoel mamish? That's what we asked. Of the din and the Rambam of tshuvas miskabel miyad. Explains Rav Huttner. Ba'asher mechilat v'slichat yom ha-kippurim ba'i hidafke b'torat ketz. Ketz mechila v'slicha li'Yisrael. Just like because the mechila v'slicha of Yom Kippur is done as a ketz, it's the end, It's the end of Mechila and Slicha for Am Yisrael. It's the last chance. And therefore, there's this mitzvah of Miyad. So Miyad means God's going to accept it immediately, and that's the Midah Tova, the other side of the coin of the Eid Memayer of Peronis, of punishment. Therefore, the tshuva that relates to Yom Kippur doesn't require a test of waiting till you see how strong the Kabbalah is, like Rabbeinu Yonah writes in his Ikar HaTishasar. Rather, it's accepted immediately. Because in this concept of the cycle of the year, there's a ketz, and there's a miyad, without cheshbonos. What's going to be after Yom Kippur? Because Yom Kippur is the ceiling. And the ceiling of Yom Kippur means that it's the end of Midas Erech Apayim in the context of the cycle of the year. And that's the klal, that whenever there's no longer going to be Erech Apayim, there's going to be no longer patience, there has to be an Eid Memayer as far as Peronis is concerned. And there's also going to be a Miyad in the Tzad HaSchus. So you don't exhaust the content of Slicha and Yom Kippur when you understand that there's Kapara, but you have to understand more that it's Ketz Slicha Mechila. And that's what the Rambam writes, that the Tshuva of Aseres Yimei Tshuva is like the Tshuva of Yom Kippur. And therefore this Tshuva requires that there be an hug of Ketz, and it's received immediately. We don't look into the future. So we said before that in Medidas HaRochav, that when you measure, there's obviously going to be a difference in the Kabbalahs about how long a Kabbalah lasts. Just like we saw in Omek, we saw a difference between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam. How deep your Kabbalah has to be. There's also a difference, not between Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam necessarily, but in conceptually, there's a difference in Rochav HaKabbalah, how long the Kabbalah is going to last for. Because everybody would agree, Rabbeinu Yonah would agree, everybody would say, that a Kabbalah that's going to last for a week is much less than a Kabbalah that's going to last for a year. Kabbalah is going to last for a year is less than a Kabbalah is going to last for 10 years. So that's only the rest of the year. But on Yom Kippur and during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, it's the Ketz. It's the end. Ketz means, as we learned earlier, swift punishment. But the other side of the coin is that there is also swift reward. And that's the Miskabelas Himiyad. So what's the befoel mamish of tshuva on Yom Kippur? That God isn't going to look into the future what you're going to do, how long your Kabbalah is going to last for. God only wants to know that today you made the Kabbalah and that's it. Not how long. So in Omek, according to the Rambam, it has to be very deep. So deep that even if you're, that the Yodea Ta'alumos, God has to testify about you, that you are not going to, that if right now you had the opportunity, you wouldn't do it. Even though you already were nichshel in this sin. Rabbeinu Yonah says it doesn't have to be that strong. But that's when it comes to the depth of the Kabbalah. But when it comes to the length of the Kabbalah, normally everybody would agree that the longer the better. But on Yom Kippur, that's not necessary. Because Yom Kippur is an hug of no more Erech HaPayim, no more patience, the me'ain of la'asid lavo, swift judgment, and therefore there also has to be swift Kabbalah Satshuva. What does that mean? What's the swiftness? That God isn't going to look into the future. What you're going to, how long the Kabbalah is going to last for. He wants to know that it's a Kabbalah for today. Because today is the Ketz. Today is the end. So, sweetest friends, we understood the Siyata Dishmaya, what it means, Achaz Bishana. It's not just telling us Yom Kippur is once a year. It's telling us that Yom Kippur, its essence is that it's the end. It's the very last opportunity. And that's why we have to take advantage of it. And we learn the difference between different types of Zman. Zman before Yetzias Mitzrayim and after. Before Yetzias Mitzrayim, Zman was a kilkel. But afterwards, when we have the Moedim of the year, which were the Me'ein of the Asid Lavo, then Zmanim are Tikkunim. And therefore we can talk about a Tikkun after 6,000 years. In order to be Shaykh to a Tikkun, you have to be Shaykh to Nitzchias. And the Moedim are obviously Mishaykhas to Nitzchias. And the Nefesh Adam is Shaykh to Nitzchias. That's why the Gros says that the Tikkunim are Talui Bit Ba'adam. The 248 Mitzvahs Aseis, which are the human body. And the Doravi Yeshuvu Hena. And that's the Tikkun. So we should be zochem, it's Hashem, b'siyata d'shmaya, that in this Achaz B'shana, and this Yom Kippur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be Mocha B'Soleich Miyad, during all the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, the Tshuva should be Miyad Miskabelas, and we should be Zocha B'Schus Har Tshuva, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring the Geula, and Mashiach, Shama Hashem Ashvuscha V'Rechamecha V'Kibetzcha Mikol Amin, Amen Ken Yiratzon, Shalom Shalom, sweetest friends.